What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. And we're coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Sometimes more, if it warrants it.
Don't get their hopes up. Anyways, today we've got a heck of a show lined up for you. Today we're going to kick things off with a game preview of tonight's action if you're listening to this, against the Boston Celtics. So you're going to want to stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about what we're going to need to do well to win this one, some things that could go wrong.
It's an interesting matchup.
It's interesting matchup, tied for the best record in the NBA currently.
Yeah, we'll talk about how weird the mountain feels between us and them record-wise. But
Definitely. And then it's Wednesday. You know what that means. What you say Wednesdays.
Oh, yeah.
Charles threw a heck of a poll out there for you.
This is such an interesting question that Doc brought it up about the bench.
Yeah.
Maybe outperforming last year. We'll talk about what Clipper Nation thinks.
It's interesting because I actually thought it would be lopsided in a different way than it was.
It's pretty interesting.
All right. So we're going to have all of that coming up for you, as well as some classic shavings.
Oh, yeah. This is a Will Updike philosophical edition of shavings, kind of.
You know it. All right. So all that and more coming up right by now.
So the Celtics and Clippers face off at, disclaimer, 7 o'clock Wednesday night, if you're listening to this. They are also giving away the Underground Goat bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I hope we get one of those. Don't know if we will. Anyway, Kawhi.
Anybody in merch out there?
Yeah, man, something. Kawhi, questionable for this game. Do you want him to play?
If he's questionable, nah.
I mean, if he's questionable tomorrow too.
If he's questionable to the training staff, then no.
I'm just saying, so questionable today, someone on Twitter was like, that might turn into probable. And I was like, yeah, no, duh, that might turn into probable. If it turns into probable, great. Play him. That's fine. If it's still questionable, we're recording this on Tuesday night, by the way. If it's still questionable day of, chill.
Also.
Yeah.
I'm saying specific to the training staff.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about probable to the NBA.
You're what?
I'm talking about if just the training staff thinks that he's questionable.
Oh, yeah. Sit him out.
Sit him out.
100%. Marcus Smart sprained his ankle Monday. Can't imagine he's going to be playing for the Celtics. He was labeled as day-to-day.
Yeah.
The Celtics come in at 11-2.
Mm-hmm.
One of their losses being a one-point nail-biter to the Kings a few days ago.
Yeah.
So they're, inches away from being 12-1. But they only beat the Warriors by 5, which is basically should be a loss.
Rough. The strength of schedule for them really, really hasn't been there.
Beat the Knicks twice, the Wizards, the Cavs, and Charlotte. They do have wins, however, over the Bucks, Raptors, and the Suns, which now is a quality win.
That's a solid win.
So, the record, we kind of talked about this before we started recording. It's funny because 9-5 seems like a mountain away from 11-2, which is so funny.
They have the same record as the Lakers. And for some reason, just being 2.5 games behind feels like a lot of games.
Yeah.
And there's still so much basketball left to play.
Yeah. So their record, looking at the stats, it's very interesting. What do we got to do well in this game?
I think we've got to get over whatever offensive hump the starters are currently kind of working their way through.
Yeah. Other than Paul George. But
yeah. He didn't have 50.
But yeah, we were basically right up until Paul George came back.
Yeah.
The worst first quarter scoring team.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do that against the Celtics team.
Can't do that. I think that it's, I feel like sometimes we get a little repetitive, or I do, in things that we can do in this game. But the offense is going through a slump, and they do have some really interesting wing defenders, the Celtics team. Even with Marcus Smart out, Brown and Tatum and Tice certainly too.
Tice is at a 99 defensive rating in 22 minutes a game right now, which defensive rating isn't totally indicative of how good you are as a defender, but 22 minutes and you're under 100, not bad.
It's not bad. I think that it's going to be, this time it's more than just the proverbial us versus our shots. We are going to be playing some solid defenders.
Yeah.
Thunder also, are a pretty solid defensive team, but I think that this one could be present more of a challenge.
Yeah. As of, 1 hour ago, Marcus Smart was listed as probable on Tuesday night. So he might play. So that just adds to your argument. The Celtics are a very even keel team right now.
It's interesting because they're another team. I can't remember which preview it was. But anyways, looking at some of their stats, like their points per game and some of their rebounding and stuff is a little close to ours. But yeah. You were saying that there is something that you think we can exploit.
Yeah. So they're so back to the even keelness real quick. They're fourth in offensive rating and eighth in defensive rating. So like they're playing pretty damn good on both sides of the ball. We need to get to the line, but the offensive boards are the thing where if the wing defenders are, I'm just going to pull this random situation out of my hat, not hitting or making it so our guys don't shoot well from three. Let's mm-hmm. just pretend that that happens.
I mean, I don't know how it could, but...
One thing we can exploit is the boards. We're third in the league with 11 offensive rebounds a game, which is also the amount the Celtics give up per game. Trez is at 3 offensive boards a game. Zoo is at 2.5. So I think we can do this. They're 15th. They're dead average at total rebounds. We're second. Like everything's kind of primed to see another Zoo double-double.
Yeah.
Maybe another Trez double-double.
Well, especially with this smaller lineup, having Tice out there, you would hope on the glass that's a place where Zoo would really be able to impose some sort of an impact.
Yeah. And on the line, if things are going well, getting to the line, obviously. Celtics are allowing 24 free throw attempts a game to opponents, and we're second in free throws. So this game might take a long-ass time because mm-hmm. we're getting offensive boards, and then Trez is getting fouled, or Jamichael's getting fouled and stuff like that. But it might be a grinded-out game.
Yeah, and then just we got to get back to getting to the line.
Yeah.
Is the other thing.
That's 100%.
I think we had 14 total attempts in that game. Last night against OKC... obviously a very...
It was an anomaly.
Well, they're also like, they're, what's the word I'm looking for? They're like a restrained defensive team.
Yes. Which sometimes can hurt them.
That's true.
So what could, we're going to what could go wrong?
Yeah.
Turnovers. They do not turn the ball over.
No, that's a, I mean, that's, I feel like that's a pretty big Brad Stevens credit.
That's a Brad Stevens thing for sure. They average 12 a game, which is second best in the league. We, on the other side of the coin, turn the ball over hella.
Almost 17 times a game, right?
28th in the league.
Yes. We've talked about this. We have talked about this.
It's an issue. And, you know, there's continuity, all that good stuff. And Paul George, his turnovers are going to go down as his playing time goes up.
For
sure. He had 7 against the Thunder, which, like, I don't know if that's going to happen again too many times this year.
Yeah.
If everyone's healthy, also.
Cool. Well, and if guys are knocking out shots. I feel like we talked about the same thing in Kawhi's early opening games. It's like, you know, that assist-to-turnover ratio looks a lot more favorable if guys are able to knock down some shots.
Yeah, if we're not shooting 28% from three. But that goes into the other thing that could go wrong. We just shoot 28% from three. Doc talked about how our stats say our offense look like is good, but it doesn't look good.
Yeah, which was interesting for him to say. Like, I feel like that's a very open comment.
It's a candid comment. We're third in points per game without a really fluid system. You know, really.
And it looked clunky the other night.
It looked kind of clunky. The ATOs looked great, obviously. Doc is fantastic at those. But sometimes it was just a little like, why are you guys so close to each other?
Yeah.
There's that spacing issue. Boston seems like the team that could punish that. They have a top five defensive 3-point field goal percentage.
Okay.
So, I mean, they can stop teams. And you just, like, they're wing defenders. We have good wings. They have good wing defenders.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. My favorite movie also.
So let's get into some key matchups for this game. I think the one, at least that I'm most excited for, is probably... Kemba guarding, or Bev guarding Kemba, rather, right?
It's going to be really fun to watch. Kemba, one of the most underrated, underappreciated, undersuccessful.
Pre this season.
Yeah, not because of his fault. I don't mean that like that.
Yeah.
But trapped in a horrible franchise. Having a great year.
Absolutely. He's shooting the ball really well.
23 a game.
Yeah. He is like a... Size-wise, I definitely like this matchup for Bev.
Here's my thing. With Smart being probable now,
uh-huh.
seems like they're 100% going to play Smart
yeah.
because of Kemba's defense. Marcus Smart's having a fantastic year. I think, but I like Bev. I also, how about this? I might want to see Magruder on Kemba.
All right, so this is what I was thinking would be, yeah, probably the other defensive, matchup.
Oh. Do you think that's the starting backcourt? Bev and Magruder? Or do you think we go Man and Bev again? Assuming Kawhi does not play.
Oh, that's an interesting question.
See, maybe that's part of the sliding lineup? That could be one of the permutations?
Well, I kind of think that we're not going to get into the true sliding lineup until everyone is healthy.
Like 65 games in?
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I don't even mean that. That kind of started as a joke, but then I was like, no, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be good.
I would be very surprised if Magruder got the start.
I would be too. I kind of would like to see it, maybe.
Overman?
Not against this backcourt, because Marcus Smart isn't offensive enough for me to want another, you know. Marcus Smart's shooting, I think, almost just as well from three-point as he is from the field.
Yeah, I feel like he's shooting the ball better.
He's around like 37% or something.
Yeah.
So that, you know, but I feel like you kind of live with that. I think he's one of those guys, like Doc said, you put a list of guys who you let shoot, and maybe Marcus Smart is on the cusp of that list. So, yeah, maybe see a man. I think you're right on that. How many points do you think Kemba gets? He's at 22 a game right now.
He'll get his 22.
Ooh, I was going to say 16.
I think that...
But that goes to the great list. Who guards Tatum?
That's what I'm saying, is I think that we might see Beverly do some off-ball stuff as well.
Kawhi's free safety-ness, if he plays, it's going to be big. Mo is going to be huge.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too, is I'm kind of assuming that we only have one of our two star wings.
The big dogs.
But if we have both...
We're good. Honestly, if we have both, I feel bad, because I'm like, we're fine.
Yeah.
If we have both, this is a much... I feel much more comfortable going into it.
For sure.
Doc versus Brad Stevens.
I like this.
This is a good coaching battle. I guess this is kind of a tumultuous period personnel-wise for the Clippers. Doc has coached pretty well. There's only a couple bugaboos I think people have.
Yeah.
That aren't really that big. The Trez minutes thing, you know, that seemed like it kind of got fixed a little bit last game, or at least recognized. But I really want to see Kawhi and Paul George get together for this game so we can see, like, kind of what Doc has been talking to them about. About playing together.
It'll also help just not being down two or three starters. I mean,
those old things. if Smart is out, he's averaging 12-5-4 and shooting 37% from three on 7 attempts a game.
That's great.
He's having a really good season.
Yeah.
Which is also why I think he totally plays, because I think Brad Stevens really needs him. And then bench versus bench. I think a large key piece of this game, if Kawhi does not play, hinges on this bench. And I think we got their bench's number.
I'd agree. I'm curious to see, just in general, I know we already talked a little bit about Zubats having a good game, but how the center matchups are going to work out.
Yeah.
And
this can kind of give us that work sometimes.
I was going to say, because I feel like if they do end up running Ennis in Trez minutes, he's going to get torched.
Ooh. You think Trez is going to get torched?
Ennis?
Ennis is
going to
100%.
Ennis is going to get absolutely destroyed.
Totally cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 100%. They're the third worst scoring bench in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, that, you're not going to beat the Clippers.
Oh, and I just mean on the defensive end. Like, he can't guard pick and roll. Yeah.
And
he's going to get torn apart.
Yeah, if your team does
or
not...
Or Daniel Theis plays 48 minutes, baby.
They might. Or Time Lord. Robert Williams is... Or Taco.
Are you surprised that we haven't talked to any Taco yet?
No, because if there's one person who can't defend the pick and roll, it's probably Taco Fall. No, I think my larger point was going to be, if you don't have a top 10 scoring bench in the NBA, I think you're going to lose against the Clippers most nights. What's your prediction for this game?
All right. So I'm hoping the scoring is a little smoother than we saw before.
I hope we put up 100.
I mean, that'd be great. I want to see a score line of like, I want to see a handed win. I'm thinking 112-104.
Okay. I like that.
Assuming that we're only down
One of our key guys.
One of our key guys plus Sham.
I think...
Which is another thing to keep in context.
Yeah, for sure. Just
when people are worried about people's minutes, you know?
I think... I don't think Kawhi plays. I base that off of my gut, which I did just drink a kombucha, so there's some good cultures in there, so I think it's going good.
Boo.
I think Clippers win. I think we see like a $115, $105.
All right. That's great. So coming up, we're going to get into our What You Say. Charles put a poll out on Twitter. Thank you all for answering.
Oh, yeah. But first, we have to give a shout out to Audible, world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. If you're listening on the go, you can't visit Audible right now. You can find this and all our other offers from Lockdown sponsors at lockdownpodcast.com/offers.
One last thing on Audible. Great company.
Fantastic. Yeah?
Great company. Great stuff. Why the distinction between audiobooks and audio entertainment?
Couldn't tell you. Seems like it's a little convoluted.
All right. Anyways, what you say Wednesday?
So, full disclosure on this poll. I'm always putting the poll out on Twitter every Tuesday.
That's true.
Poll Tuesday is what I call it. No one at work likes it when I say it. I knew the results would be lopsided in this query. I kind of did that on purpose.
Okay.
I genuinely wanted to hear dissenting opinions and did not... I said, if you disagree, say why in the comments. I feel like this question wasn't loaded. I feel like there was an open forum for people to maybe agree or disagree.
Mm-hmm.
No one said anything.
But come on.
Here's what the poll.
We need some dissent out there.
There was 4% dissent, which today, is to tell you how lopsided this poll is.
Today we're with the divisive bullshit.
Yeah, divisional, DBS, we're there. So on Monday, Doc Rivers said that when everyone is healthy, he thinks, and this is where it gets crazy, that the Clippers bench could be even better than last year. I said, agree or disagree, hashtag Clipper Nation, which you can always find us at Locked On Clips. We're always tweeting. And then I said, comment why if you feel like it. 96% of people agreed that the bench will be better than last year, while 4%, possibly some Lakers fans, did not voice their actual reasons why, but disagreed it will not be better.
So,
first of all, I love the belief that Doc has.
Yes.
I think that on paper, if you're just looking at who is on the bench,
yes,
it looks better.
I think it depends on who you assume the starters are.
But that's where the wrinkle is that if there's, say Kawhi doesn't play 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of, you know, continuity stuff. Paul George isn't going to play probably every single game.
Beg to differ.
Okay. I mean, they got to rest him at some point.
He's brand new.
I mean, he does have two new shoulders. He said it himself. He has two new shoulders. I don't know if it's going to be better. It was pretty damn good last year. It had the best pick and roll of all time, which I know isn't encompassing of the whole bench. So that's why I think the ball movement will be better. But I don't know if the scoring is going to top last year.
Yeah, well,
because you thought this poll was going to go the other way.
I did think it was going to go the other way. I think that an assumption this early in the season that it's going to be better than last year's is, to me, a little bit more than I'm willing to buy without testing.
You think maybe Doc was saying that to... Just like a show of good faith.
Yeah.
I mean,
I need a better
way.
Sample size.
Yeah. Okay. Because on paper, let's say Shamit does not start. Justin Russo has put out some great numbers as to why, if you look at the defensive numbers of what a lineup of Bev, Kawhi, PG, Mo, and Zubats is, it's unbelievable. It's mind-blowing what this defense can be.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, it reminds you of those Pistons teams.
Yeah.
There's some potential for some horrific nights for other teams' offenses, routinely.
It's like a true championship pedigree.
100%. Like, it's a team that if our guys didn't have as good of offense as our two big guys do, and as Lou Williams has and Trez has, we could still be in contention, I think.
Yeah.
If everyone played league average offense, our defense, when everyone's fully healthy, seems like it could be good enough.
Is poised.
Good enough to get you to the Western Conference Finals if you had an average offense, which we obviously do not. It's much better than that. But so let's say Sham is on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
That bench lineup, you got, let's call it Lou Magruder,
mm-hmm.
Sham, Jamichael, Trez.
Yeah.
That's a pretty, you know, like.
They're hemorrhaging points.
Yeah. Pretty firmly. But the offense is there. But that goes to our other, like, because we talk about this pretty routinely.
Yeah.
If they're not scoring, there's not a whole lot of stopping going on.
Yes. Like, yeah, no, if they're not scoring, it's not that effective. I guess my biggest thing with this whole thing of will they be better than last year, will they not? I fall on the side of no.
And that's not a bad thing also.
It's not a bad thing. And I'm not saying that they're not going to be great. Yeah. Last year's was great too. I'm just saying they shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, we needed them to be the best bench in the league to get to 48 wins.
They should not have to be better than the bench was last year for this team to be successful.
I agree with
that's
that.
That's an absurd, like, to me, forget about record or playoff or whatever.
Yeah.
If the bench has to be better than it was last year for this Something's team to succeed, going on. This has not been a successful experiment.
Yeah, something very weird is going on.
Yeah.
If we're needing to repeat. I think what Doc says, be better than last year, which is why I really wanted people who dissented to voice their opinions,
mm-hmm.
which you can always do at Locked On Clips or at Charles Mockler or at Will Updike.
Yeah.
As long as they're not full of weird hate, because sometimes it's Twitter. You never know.
If they are, we're just not going to respond.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it's a thing of it's going to look a little more fluid.
Because
there were times on the bench where it was just like, okay, Lou and Trez,
go.
Yeah, do your thing. But now, you know, we maybe have another ball handler a little bit more in Sham. Magruder's going to be, he's still getting comfortable. His defense is going to be solid out there. And then you can also switch Mo and Jamichael sometimes, I think, which might happen with the starters and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then you have Patrick Patterson. I think fluidity-wise, it'll look better. Stats-wise, I didn't think about that until you just said it, of the, like, we shouldn't need this bench to be this good. They're capable of being like last year, but they had to play so much last year.
The personnel is there, and I definitely see the, you know, the argument of adding Sham to the bench. You're adding another thing that is, you're adding a good thing to another good thing, and it seems great. And I do think that the scoring potential is there to be better than last year's bench, for sure.
Because if you look at what Trez has done, you know, we've kind of been having to play these weird bench minutes right now already with Trez playing all those big stretches.
Yeah.
And a minutes where people are kind of rightfully so wondering if that's going to happen during the whole season, where it's like, dude, is Trez going to play like 30 minutes a game, like six games in a row or something like that? Yeah, that will go away when everyone's fully functioning. Even before Shamet comes back.
Yes.
I'm excited for this bench.
Anything else you got on this What You Say?
Not really. I want to thank everyone for voting.
Absolutely.
Look out for that on Tuesdays, because we do record, you know, the day after, so we put that out on Tuesday. Vote. If you have a different opinion, shout it out. DM it to us if you don't feel, you know, comfortable or something like that. I want to talk about when a poll's that lopsided, it's nice to hear from the other side.
Are you pointing at me?
A little bit, yeah.
All right, so coming up, we've got a quick shavings for you.
Quick shavings.
I'm not even going to call it interesting. I poised a question to Charles.
Yeah. But first, guys, if you have basketball knowledge, which you do if you listen to this pod,
you have the best basketball knowledge, and you should put it to the test at mybookie.ag.
They make it easy to play and even usually get paid. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and mybookie will match 50% of your first deposit.
That's right.
50%.
Yeah, that's 150% gambling money.
You could be listening to three books at once while you're putting money on a 19-game parlay, because it's college football. Who cares? And you're winning, I don't know, $878,000 if you put a dollar down.
Yeah, and if you forget any of this great, great info, or you can't visit MyBookie right now because you're driving, you can find this and all our other offers from Locked On at lockedonpodcast.com/offers.
So, real quick, how many minutes we got for this? Couple for sure. Pose this question. This is just a question.
My thing was, this is coming out of some of the long stretches of Trez playing.
Yeah.
This is coming out of some just questions I guess I have in general. But
yeah, to see what the lineup can do.
Do you think it'd be better if we had a permanent starting five, and maybe it's not someone you think.
Permanent starting five?
Well,
I think of this as more of a situational thing.
A situational starting five.
Yes. You got to tell the people what the idea is, though. Because the idea is fairly radical. It's not one that I've even seen posed on Twitter, which is where, lately, the most radical things get posted.
Okay, so this sliding starting five.
Say it. It's not that crazy.
Jermichael Green plays the five. He starts at the five.
So Zoo and Trez are both on the bench.
Yes. I mean, in a sense of they're not the starters
no,
at the tip-off of the game.
Yeah, so who takes the tip?
Jamaica, obviously. I don't think Zubats has ever won one.
He's won the last two, I'm pretty sure. So this is such an interesting idea, like against a team that's running a small ball lineup. I love it against a small ball lineup.
And then I
because
guess...
Because then you're the bench is just like... Because Lou and Zoo also... I mean, Lou's good with anyone in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
He's just exceptional with Trez. Lou and Zoo look great in the pick and roll.
And I think this is a situation, too, where when I had originally posed this question to Charles, Zubats was playing around 15 minutes a game.
Less than 20 PP.
Yeah. So it just begged the question to me, like, what if Jermichael starts and six of those minutes are his? And now it makes a little bit more sense given Zubats' minutes load, but I feel like it just alleviates Trez having to be on the floor quite as much.
Yeah, like 4 minutes into the first.
And this to me is like the true...
This is the smallest ball.
This is the smallest ball. It's also the slidingest of lineups.
Yeah, because I mean...
It's slippery.
So this lineup is Bev, Optimum, Bev, Kawhi, PG, Mo, Jermichael?
Yes. All wings, baby.
I mean, it is all wings. Like... I just don't see what lineup it starts against.
That's fair. I mean, what about the Celtics lineup, though? You have Daniel Theis, who is like kind of like moving down. He's to me a cusp power forward and center guy.
I would like to see this lineup at some point 100%.
Yeah.
Because I don't like... Jermichael's got to be shooting... here's the thing.
The shooting also hasn't been there right now.
Jermichael's shooting's going to be good and like... It started as kind of a joke on Twitter and stuff, but like he really does get a traveling call at least once a game.
Yeah.
So something's got to be figured out with that. Because if he's playing the five, he's handling the ball more. He's a really good passer out of the post.
I think he's actually handling the ball less.
Really?
I think that the only time he touches the ball is if he's in the corner or if they're dropping in a pass to him, like, you know, within 3 feet of the rim. Because with that many wings and people who can kind of handle the ball, I just don't know why you would ever need the ball in Jermichael's hands.
It's interesting. I hope we see it.
A couple of things do have to happen, yes. And
the situation has to be right.
The situation would have to be right. Would he get killed? Would it affect the offensive rebounding numbers? And, I mean, overall rebounding, of course.
Yeah, we're getting killed on the boards in this situation. Unless...
Unless
we still have Bev, Kawhi, and PG. Like, that's where it's so funny because I love thinking about this is going to sound weird and people might have a problem with this. Because we haven't seen Kawhi and Paul George together yet.
Yeah.
We can talk about ideas like this.
Yes, exactly.
And be like, dude, like if the rebounding.
Yeah.
You know, those two guys.
And if we get a freezing cold take on this or just dumb take on this, I'm fine.
But it's just so funny to think about because like. It's kind of a lunatic idea, but we haven't seen them work together yet, so we don't really have... I mean, yes, there's numerical and statistical proof that it might not work out that well, but it's a fun thing to think about. And we might see this lineup at some point.
Yeah, I don't know
if... Because I don't even know if we're getting killed. We're not getting killed on defense. We have three elite defenders out there. Four!
I can guarantee we'll see this lineup at some point. We will not see it start, necessarily. I'm not gonna go that far. But we will see some iteration of this lineup.
Low-key, goofy playoff lineup?
This is submit your actual lineup at the last possible second before the deadline. Sneak play for the first game of a playoff.
Write some names down. Put Jermichael at the five. That's not bad.
I like to think people are like, there's a lot of people like crab walking around unsure of what to do.
My pen's out of ink.
That's all I really got. An insane idea for you guys.
Let us know what you guys think. I'm into it. Does that wrap it up?
Yeah, that's all we got time for today. All
right, so guys, Thursday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
Those damn Celtics. We're going to have Thursday, of course. And whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland.
We'll pull out some shavings for you.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out, for listening. Rate us. No new reviews to read today, but hey, what are you going to do?
Hey.
I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Update. Appreciate you.